another opportunity to be alive. And for that, we do thank God. We're in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. I do want to say very quickly, let's be in prayer for Sister Sean. She lost her niece early this morning in a shooting. She was young, and she had two young children. And it's in my area that I've worked, actually, on Galbert Street, where one of my drivers picked up that street on yesterday, actually. So, no, maybe it was today. Today's Tuesday. So today, I think. Yeah, picked it up today. So we need to be in prayer for that family. We need to be in prayer for everyone who's in their hour of bereavement, who's just going through. Now's the time to be prayed up, and we must stay prayed up. Amen? We must stay prayed up. We are in a warfare. We're so busy across the seas fighting ISIS. When the truth of the matter, we got U.S. ISIS right here in the United States of America. God is still moving his hand, and we still have to trust in God. We know that it's God's permissive will that that his will be done. All right, so let's continue to do that. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you. We lift you. We magnify you. Your God, beside thee, there is no other. We dare not forget the blood of Calvary, that while we were yet in sin, you committed your love toward us. You died on the cross. You were buried, and bright early Sunday morning, you rose with all power. And God, right now, we say thank you. We say hallelujah now, because we know hallelujah is the highest praise. Even in the midst of death going on all around us, God, you saw fit to spare our lives today, God. And we do say thank you for that, God. God, for those in the hour of bereavement, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to touch, teaching them, God, that even in the midst of the situation, that earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And if we have the faith, you have the power to address our faith, God. Touch now in the name of Jesus. All of those who are sick, touch Sister Claire tonight, God, who's sick. Sister Claire Kinsey, God, I pray that you would touch her now in the name of Jesus. I pray for Brother Prevost right now, God. I pray that you would touch him and Sister Claire Prevost, Sister Claire Jenkins. I pray that you would touch her too, God. Touch that family. And God, I pray as we go into your word tonight, I pray that you'd open up our minds and open up our hearts. You said that heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would stand. Bless your word tonight. Sanctify it, incorporate it into our lives, that we might be a better people as a result of your word. Not only will thine will be done. And whatever you do, God, don't let us leave the same way that we came. Make us better as a result of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, tonight, Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 36. Our focal point tonight, everybody got your pens, got your iPads, got your phones. This is what I need you to put on Facebook, Instagram, in the victory room. Tag me. I need everybody to tag me on this, okay? Simply, our topic, God will always keep his promise. God will always keep his promise. Hashtag TNT, Pastor Lavelle Jones. God will always keep his promise. Hashtag TNT, Pastor Lavelle Jones. Please hit me in that, tag me in that, and tag your friends in that. Put it in the victory room. Everybody that's in the victory room, please put it in the victory room, okay? All right, let's go to work. Is my sister on the line, Didi?
I'm here.
Make it do what it do.
I'm going to read Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 36, and I'm going to read from the NLT because it's just easier to get. I ask then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And do you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. It is the same today for a few people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. So, this is a situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones God has chosen, but the hearts of the rest were hardened. As the scripture says, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this day, he has shut their eyes so they do not see, and closed their ears so they do not hear. Likewise, David said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble, and let them get what they deserve. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and let their backs be bent forever. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world would share when they finally accept it. I am saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this, for I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have, so I might have some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be for life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just the branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ, and you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe toward those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You by nature were a branch cut from a wild olive tree, so if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. God's mercy is for everyone. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scripture says. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of God, of good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet there are still people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Dee Dee. How to know God always keeps his promises. Let me say, to this point, this is what I like to call a major section of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, because God's personal righteousness and his provided righteousness for his people has been displayed primarily in Israel's rejecting Christ and rebelling against God, and in God's choosing and turning to the Gentile race. One thing we must understand, brothers and sisters, that God is sovereign. And God can do what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. I shared with the Macedonia church on this past Sunday that God does not base grace on seniority. Somebody can tag somebody in that one. I think that's very profound. God does not base grace on seniority, because some folks think they're better than other folks because they've been there longer or things like that. But let me tell you something, because God is sovereign, God can anoint folks you don't like. God can bless folk that you can't stand. What do you mean, Pastor? If I go back to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, if I went back there and it talked about some came in the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour, notice everybody didn't come in at the same time, because what God wants to do is transcend the times of our lives. And it don't matter what the people think at the 11th hour. It took the same amount of grace to get me at the 11th hour as it did at the third hour. And we ought to thank God and bless God for that. Okay? So he chooses the Gentile, he turns to the Gentile race, and these things, they continue in this chapter, but God's sovereign choice also involves his restoring Israel and his being magnified thereby. And there is no greater illustration of God's faithfulness to his promises than the nation of Israel, because in this chapter, what we learn and what we see is what will happen to Israel in the future, because God always keeps his promises. Because in the closing verses, you remember those were on last week of chapter 10, Paul gave a blistering indictment against Israel for rejecting the gospel. Remember that, right? But now in this chapter, he begins in verse 11, verse 1, the 11th chapter, verse 1, the 8th part. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. What he's saying, y'all, in other words, has Israel's rejection of the gospel made God's promises to Israel null and void? Paul says, no. And to give us proof, he gives us three proofs that God always keeps his promise. So let's talk about it, okay? Because Paul's transition from chapter 10 is seen in the repetition of his rhetorical clause, I ask, or therefore I say. Okay? The first proof is Israel always has a believing remnant. Always has a believing remnant. Because using his own conversion as evidence of a believing Jewish remnant, Paul writes, and Sister Dee Dee just read, for I also am an Israelite, from the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin, right? That's what he said. I like that. I like that because Paul, what Paul is simply doing, he's presenting himself as the first proof. He had responded by faith to Jesus Christ and had received God's provided righteousness, and yet he was an Israelite, right? And of the tribe of Benjamin, though small, Benjamin was a significant tribe because Saul, Israel's first king, was from Benjamin. And if God could save Paul, he certainly can save other Jews. Wow. Wow. Paul says, "For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin," because Paul was as much as a Jew as anyone could be. So if God had given up on Israel, it would have meant that he gave up on Paul too. And we know he didn't give up on Paul. And in verses 2 through 4, Paul uses the illustration of the 7,000 who did not bow their knees to Baal in Elijah's day as an example of how there has always been a faithful remnant. Then what does he write in Romans 11 and 5?
"And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement."
Wow, 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 wow. Because of God's promises and his grace, even today, the remnant of Jewish believers is much larger than what many people think. Because in verse 6, Paul writes one of the most important facts about salvation by grace. What is it?
"And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work."
Okay, let me tell you something about grace and works. Grace and works are like fear and faith. They are mutually exclusive. Let me take fear and faith. Fear and faith are a mutually exclusive. Why, Pastor Jones? Because wherever there's fear, there can be no faith. And wherever there's faith, fear has to flee. So grace and works are mutually exclusive. Now, thus, there has always been a remnant saved entirely by grace, not performance. We're not saved by performance, y'all. Because a lot of people think you got to work to be saved. No, 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 no. You're not saved by works. Just because Israel didn't keep their part of the bargain doesn't mean God's promises are void. Huh. Because in the book of Psalms, God says of David's descendants, he says, "If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." And that's Psalms 89, verse 30 and through 32. Then what does he say in verse 33?
"Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail."
Wow. So God does not break his promises, but he will discipline his children when they sin. Okay? So to prove Israel has hardened her heart toward God in Romans chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, Paul weaves together passages, watch this, from Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and Psalm. Paul's point is Israel has been and is still disciplined for rejecting the gospel by being in a spirit of slumber. Verse number 8, y'all read that. Now, the word translated slumber, it simply means deep sleep. Because they have rejected the gospel, Jews, by and large, are now spiritually asleep. Now, quoting Psalm 69:23, Paul writes, "Let their eyes," in verse 10, "let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away." Because the Jews refuse to see the truth of the gospel, they are being disciplined with spiritual sleep and the back-breaking burden of self-imposed law-keeping. So the first proof is, number one, is God always keeps his promise. Because Israel always has a believing remnant. They always have a believing remnant. All of the Jews are not cast away. All of the Jews have not given up. I'm going to stop right there. That was the first outline. Anybody got any questions, any comments on that?
Pastor?
Yes.
This is me, Tamala.
Hey.
Hey, you're talking about, you know, his discipline for the children of Israel, but what about us? We're his children too. He disciplines us that way. We're just like the children of Israel, half of us half of the time, if not most of us all the time.
Why are you all in my personal business? No, you're totally right, you know, but I'm using this as in the metaphor that Paul was using, because Paul was talking about Israel at the time.
Right.
And you're totally right. You're totally right. As his children, he disciplines us as well.
Pastor Jones, can you explain the grace and works again? I didn't understand what you were saying about grace and works.
A lot of people feel that they're saved by the works that they do. We're not saved by works. You can't work your way to heaven.
Right.
The grace is given through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you have to receive him as Lord and Savior. Okay? Watch this, grace, G-R-A-C-E. Let me give you an acronym. Okay? G-R-A-C-E. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Because it was all about what he did on the cross that we're able to have this grace. Because under the law, it was by, you know, they thought it was by works. You had to work yourself, work your way to heaven. But there's no way you can work your way to heaven. The Bible says it's not by works lest any should boast. Because if it was by works, folks would be boasting about what they did and how they do it. You know, that's just like if you be a blessing to somebody or something or whatever, you don't have to go tell it. You do know that there's a difference between tithes and benevolence. I don't know if some of y'all still do benevolent offerings at your church, but the Bible calls it alms. The Bible says when you give your alms in secret, and don't be like the heathen and hypocrites. They give to be seen of men. Now, tithing was made public. That's why in Acts chapter 5, they came and laid it at the apostles' feet. Because tithing was made public. So I said this on the Declared Victory line. When y'all be walking around talking about you don't want nobody to see what you give, and why? Why? Because if I'm fair with God, I don't care what you think. Because I know what I can do. Jesus stood up over the treasure chest. That's why he knew how much that woman put in when he said she had given more than all. So most of us try and work our way to heaven, but you can't work your way to heaven. It is done by grace and grace alone. Any other questions, any other comments on that?
Yeah, Pastor, this is Brother Eric. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know we can't work our way to heaven, but correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying I can be born into heaven?
Right. Let me take works a step further. Okay. Now, it takes.
I understand the works, Pastor, but you were talking about the promise earlier to the Jewish. So what I'm asking mm-hmm. is, are you saying is that because the Jewish race, because of the promise to Abraham, that the Jewish race is going to heaven? And
I didn't say that.
Okay, I'm just saying that. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. I guess, you know, I don't know if I'm
okay. No. I'm talking about the remnant. The remnant. Because remember, there's still going to be some of the Jews that are still going to heaven because of the promise that he made to Abraham. Because, and by the end of this lesson, you'll see what I'm talking about, because a lot of them are going to come back.
Okay.
And I don't want to jump the gun, Brother Eric, but you'll see at the end of this lesson, a whole lot of them are going to come back. Okay? Okay, any other questions, any other comments? All right. So the first thing is, the first proof was Israel always had a believing remnant. They always had that, right? Okay, the second proof is Israel's rejection of the gospel is temporary. You see what, there it is right there, Eric. It's temporary. And then the last one is going to be, it will be restored. And we're going to find out why, okay? All right, verses 11 through 24. Because Paul continues in verse 11 to 8, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. In essence, y'all, the Jews have stumbled, but they have not fallen. Because God has not permanently set them aside. Because for a time, Israel has been set aside so salvation could come to the Gentiles. And that's why Paul writes in the B part of verse 11, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And after y'all, in the meantime, Israel's spiritual stumbling means riches for everybody else who's not a Jew. Because Paul hopes his ministry to the Gentiles may provoke to jealousy, if you will, them which are of my flesh. He says this in verse 13 and 14, and might save some of them. In essence, his ministry to the Gentiles was not an end within itself, but a means of reaching his own people, the Jews. Because if their rejection of the gospel brought spiritual wealth to the Gentile world, how much more shall the receiving of them bless the world? In verse 15, because sometime in the future, the Jews will return to Jesus in large numbers and greatly bless the world. God says in Zechariah 12 and 10, the A part, he says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then in the next sentence, how does God say they will respond to the one they have pierced? In the B part, Dee Dee.
And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Wow. So next, Paul uses two illustrations to show that the Jews are not permanently rejected, okay? And verse 16, first, he said, for it is, if the first fruit be holy, the lump also holy. The first fruit was, it was the grain taken from the field to make into dough, of which a part was offered to the Lord. When you get a chance, read Numbers chapter 15. Start at verse 18. Numbers chapter 15, verse 18, which making the whole batch holy. Second, if in the 16th verse, the B part, if the root be holy, so are the branches. That's what he says. The root refers to Abraham as the physical and spiritual father of the nation. And since he's holy, set apart by God for a special purpose, all his descendants are as well. But his branches or descendants have been broken off because they rejected Jesus. So therefore, in their place, God has grafted in Gentiles who partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That's in verse 17. Did you read that? So the fruitless Gentiles being grafted into Israel, meaning a good tree, is contrary to nature in verse number 24. And holy branch is always grafted into a fruitless tree. So in verse 24, Paul writes, How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay, good question, right? So what he's saying is, it means it is much easier to graft into a tree its own natural branches, meaning the Jews, rather than branches that are wild by nature, meaning the Gentiles. Thus, Paul is confident one day these unbelieving Jews will turn to Christ and be grafted back into a tree from which they originally came. Okay? So everybody, I have the chance to be blessed. Because as Gentile believers, what should be our response to this? I mean, we're not to brag or boast about our position because now we have that salvation. Because Paul warns us in verse 18 and 19, 20, 21, be not high-minded, but fear. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. And that's because we must remember that as Gentiles, we are very fortunate to have any part in that tree at all. And so I'm glad the Jews did what they did. Because he came to his own, and his own received him not. So salvation went from there to what? To the Gentiles, right? And arrogance is always the enemy of grace because it causes us to assume we win God's approval by some virtue or quality of our own. That's not true. That's why we need to remember what truth in Proverbs 11 and 2.
When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom.
Okay, so we have no reason to be proud, but we have every reason to be thankful. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop right there, okay, on that second outline. Israel's rejection of the gospel is temporary. Okay, any questions, any comments? Because I'm going to get into this last outline, how Israel will be restored. Brother Eric, I think that'll answer your question or the comment that you made. Because remember I said the second point was Israel's rejection of the gospel was just simply temporary. Now, will they all come back? No, I don't think that will happen. Everybody in your family that started out in church didn't come back. But there will be many who come back. Any questions, any comments on that? No? Okay, so the last outline is Israel will be restored, verses 25 through 36. So let me start by saying in this outline that Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant of this mystery so we won't be conceited. This is because blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and that's verse 25. Because only God knows how many people will make up the fullness of the Gentiles. But we know it will be a very large number because what do we read in, about heaven in Revelation 7 and 9, 8?
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Of all nations.
Wow.
Let me stop there.
No, go ahead.
Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb.
Okay, so now I can debate with the Jehovah Witnesses, right? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean because they say only 144,000 people are going to heaven. When John just simply said that I saw a number that no man could number. Is that what he says? She just read it. So whatever it means, when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, Paul writes, all of Israel shall be saved. And verse 26 to 8 part. This doesn't mean every Jew will be saved, but probably refers to the Orthodox Jew who are faithfully looking for the Messiah rather than secular Jews of whom many are still atheists. Is that there, Brother Eric? Did you hear that? Brother Eric? Did he leave me? I think I explained that pretty well right there. Okay. We know God always keeps his promises and has not given up on Israel because of what truth in Romans 11 and 29?
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Wow. Now watch this. Not only does he always keep his promises, God doesn't amend his promises. So the promises given to Israel will never be withdrawn. God's gifts are irrevocable, not irresistible. While God will not revoke his offer, it can be resisted and rejected. There are so many people still rejecting Christ, and we know that. Because in verses 30 and 31, Paul, he emphasizes the truth he has already stated. Gentiles were disobedient before they knew God, and their salvation came through Israel. But by the same logic, the Jews who are now disobedient will obtain mercy because of God's mercy on the Gentiles. So Jews and Gentiles will spiritually benefit one another. And that's what he intended, right? Verse 32 says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." This means unbelief magnifies God's mercy. Israel's unbelief doesn't abort God's plan of salvation, but it allows him to show mercy upon everybody. So what truth about God in Psalm 86 and 5 assures us of this?
For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Wow. I mean, thoughts of God's unbelievable grace and mercy caused Paul to explode into a praise. I mean, and you got to read this verse in verse 33 and watch him literally praise. Because he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out." In essence, y'all, it's impossible for humans to understand or figure out the ways of God and why God does what he does. In essence, so therefore, no man, no human can know the mind of God or even be his counselor. And then God doesn't have to explain anything to any of us. It's almost like your mama. When your mama make a deal with you, she makes a deal. She said, "Lavelle, clean up that room," and that's the deal. That's it, because I said so, right? When you tell your child to do something, and you mean that, right? Because you said it. So quoting loosely from Job, Paul writes, in verse 35, "Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again." In essence, y'all, this means God is not in our debt. We are in his because of God's actions are based on mercy and grace, not our merit. Please know that. We should look at God with a thankful awe because, he writes in verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." So how does James 1 and 17, the eighth part, express this fact?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, y'all. In essence, it's shouting time. We have reasons to shout. We have reasons to be thankful. Now, I'm not promising you that you're going to live to see God's promise fulfilled. God promised your grandmama that some of y'all would be saved, and grandmama's dead and gone, and some of y'all end up being saved when it didn't even look like y'all was going to be saved. He said that he was going to do some things in your grandmother's life and stuff, in her descendants and stuff, and he's fulfilled his promises, right? So we have three proofs that God always keeps his promises. Israel always has a believing remnant. Israel's rejection of the gospel is temporary, and Israel will be restored. I'm through. Take your phones off mute. Y'all talk to me. Can I get a witness that God always keeps his promise? He's promised you some things. Now let me tell y'all something. It don't have to happen tonight or tomorrow, because God promised it to you. And he promised Abraham a son, and 25 years later, he got one. That's the test of endurance, when it seems that God is taking his own sweet time. And some of you have, like Abraham, have heard him say he's going to heal your body, he's going to touch you, he's going to bless your loved ones. And some of us are mad if it don't happen in 25 minutes, let alone 25 years. Okay, y'all talk to me.
Hey, maybe I'll go ahead and say that sometimes I know in the past for me, that impatient thing in the waiting, when, you know, you're waiting on whatever it is. It could be a health, it could be a test result, diagnosis, whatever, maybe not for yourself or for someone else. And you praying and praying, it actually happened today, praying for a friend of mine's wife, and just believe God was going to heal her, and she passed away, my age. And so that kind of knocked the wind from me, because I truly prayed for her healing, and he decided to go ahead and take her on home. So I still trust God, even through the pain, even through knowing, you know, she's leaving her husband and her sons. I still trust God, if it makes any sense. But I really, when I went to bed last night, I just knew today I was going to get a different report. So I still trust him, even when the healing on this side doesn't come, if that makes any sense. I just wanted to share that.
Wow. You know, and God probably did just what we prayed for, Dee, it was just on the other side and not this side. Why? We don't know. We don't know, but we do know she's healed, because she's not suffering anymore. Now, I know we would love her to be back on this side where we can enjoy her and stuff, but that's not always God's will. And I, you know, that's kind of hard to digest sometimes, but, you know, he's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Okay, anyone else? Come on, come talk to me. He always keeps his word, promise. Bubbly, Barbara, somebody, Alicita, Claire, I'm going to start calling names.
Well, you explained my point, so I'm good.
Okay.
Pastor LaBelle, what was the scripture with John, with the number of people that will get into heaven? Was it a scripture with John?
No, that's a Revelation, 144,000. I don't remember it offhand.
Okay. Revelation 79, I think you said.
No, that was that. Oh, no, yeah, that's what he said. I saw a
great
number that no man could
Revelation.
Number.
You mean when it said a great multitude, which no man could number,
be,
that part?
It cannot be counted. Yeah,
yeah, that's Revelation 7 and 9.
Uh-huh, it's 7 and 9.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Nobody else, huh? Wow, y'all just... Oh, my goodness, Y'all scaring me.
No, don't be hurt.
Thanks, Kurt. Okay, no other questions, no other comments on that lesson? We know that God always keeps his promise. All right. Okay, let me talk about next week's lesson, okay? I need y'all to write this down. Next week's lesson is simply finding God's will for your life. Finding God's will for your life. Okay? Now watch the movements of the text. Now I'm only dealing with Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2 next week. There's so much in that, I can't even go no further. Okay? So watch this. The first step is simply presentation. And that's the A part of verse number 1. The first step is presentation. The second step is separation. That's 1B and 2A. And then the third step is transformation, and that's 2B, 12-2B. So presentation, separation, and transformation. Now, I can't wait to get to the next one because the next one is talking about your finding your spiritual gifts. That's week after next. But we're going to have fun with it. It is. Yeah, go ahead.
Was tonight lesson 17?
It was.
Okay, and so next week's 18. Okay.
Yeah, we almost through the book of Romans, y'all.
I know.
We almost through the book of Romans. Now, how many of y'all have really ever studied a whole book of the Bible? Be honest.
Not me. I know I haven't. I'm being honest, and this is Tamala.
Wow.
I have, but it's been a long time ago.
Okay. Now, after Romans, guess where I'm going to take y'all?
I have Pastor LaBelle, but not in the format in which you have taught it, so thank you. For your diligence and just the way you teach. Love you, brother.
Yes.
After we finish Romans, we're going to Ephesians.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. Oh,
all right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We're going to Ephesians next. So I've already started the outline on that, so I'll give you all a preview of that maybe next week of some of the topics we're going to be talking about.
Hey, Pastor Jones.
Yes.
What's the title of the lesson for next week? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I was cooking.
Finding God's will for your life.
Finding God's will for your life. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? Any other comments? No.
I'm learning a lot. I thank God for you. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God for all of you, too. Again, let's continue to pray for those who are in their hour of bereavement and those who are just burdened down with the cares of the world. Okay? Last week, there was... some who expressed and even inboxed me about sending donations. Listen, this is not predicated on if y'all send me anything or nothing, because I've been doing this over a year, and I've never asked y'all for anything. Just be spirit-led in whatever you do. If the Lord leads you to do that, then let the Lord lead you. But I'm not telling anybody to do that or asking anyone to do that, that's totally up to you, however the Lord leads you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need some fish.
Enjoy. Huh?
You can bless me with some fish.
Who is this, Claire? Who is this, Claire?
Yeah.
Summer, see, I done gave you some fish. Get out my hair. Leave me alone.
No, Pastor Joseph, I want to say, I really enjoy your Bible studies. They really have helped me out a lot. I really enjoy
your teaching. Praise God for you. Praise God for you, Double C. Praise God for you.
Okay. No more shooting seagulls.
Oh, stop it. I'm back on the other side now. I'm not supervisor at the transfer station this week, so I won't be shooting at no seagulls.
Oh, you're not? Oh, okay.
No, I'm back on collection side. I'm back on the morning crew, so hopefully for a while, a good while. So.
Yeah, and I'm asking prayer for our El Paso Heights. There's been a lot of drive-by shootings out here. There's just been a lot going on around the neighborhood, so I'm just asking prayer for the community because the weight is really heavy on my heart.
Wow. Now, I told y'all, they worried about ISIS overseas. We got U.S. ISIS right here, folks. They're
exactly.
Killing each other like a plague here, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy is right here. We don't have to go looking for the enemy. It's in your neighborhood.
For Bob and the enemy, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks being good Samaritans in Stockton being shot down on the street, stabbed.
I just seen the police officer got stabbed, got killed in Stockton. Stockton
right.
Needs to file bankruptcy and start over. It's just so much crime there.
Well, not just there. It's everywhere. Believe me.
Yeah, but you can turn the TV and see Stockton or Modesto or Richmond. It's really high there.
Okay. Well, I praise God for every last one of you. Are there any other questions, any other comments for me? Any? No?
I just thank you, Pastor Lavelle, for your diligence in every Tuesday having an awesome lesson for us.
Oh, bless the Lord. I enjoy doing what I do. I really do. I really
you
enjoy
You can kind of tell by how you teach.
Huh?
You can kind of tell you enjoy it by how you teach.
Well, why do you say kinda? I mean, did you have to throw that in there, kinda?
You can. You know, you
can
tell. You
have to enjoy it. You said kinda. God, no. I mean, Barbara, what if I told you, Barbara, I kind of like you? That don't sound too cool, do it.
No, I hadn't thought about it like that, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean no harm.
I'm messing with you. All right. It's 7 o'clock, Dr. God be the glory. Continue to pray for one another. Continue to lift each other up. Let's pray as we go away from here tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, God, for what our ears have heard, what our eyes have seen, what our hearts have felt. Thank you for your word tonight, reminding us that you always keep your promise, God. God, I pray tonight, God, again for those who are in our bereavement, those who are sick, those who are just burdened down with the cares of the world, God. God, touch our communities, touch our cities, touch our counties, God.
Yes.
So many are falling by the wayside, God, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless us, God.
Yes.
Shield us, God, from the hurts, the harms, and the dangers, God.
Yes.
Allow us to do better in spreading your word, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless everyone on this line, God, those that could not make it tonight.
Yes.
I pray, God, that as we lay down tonight, God, that you would give us sweet rest, wake us up in the morning refreshed, calling on your name. We love you, we bless you, we thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will y'all do me a favor? Get back on Facebook and tell everybody you enjoyed TNT tonight. Will y'all do that, please? Do that? Let everybody know TNT is on and cracking. Crack, 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 crack. All right. Y'all have a good night because I have to be up at 2:30 in the morning.
Bless you. Have a good night's rest.
All right. Oh, you know what, Tunisia? Send me your address. Did you send me your address?
No, you didn't respond to the text, but I'll send it now.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Send me your address and I will send you that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Y'all have a good night. Love y'all. Be blessed.
God bless.